We skip a few kinos. Tekina Mem Aleph, Shali Srufa of Aish, page 358. The Art Scroll. Page Nunches in the Shul Kinos. A kino authored by the same Aharami Rottenberg we mentioned earlier. Bemoaning the tragic burning of 24 wagon loads of manuscripts of Talmud, of Rishonim, in an era that preceded the age of printing, every manuscript was a work that involved great expense, great time, great effort, and 24 wagon loads were destroyed. It was truly an event that threatened to eradicate the study of Torah Shabbat Peh in that part of the world. The basic history behind the event is that there was a Jew who converted to Christianity, Nicholas Dunin, in northern France, the city of La Rochelle. He was put into Cheyrim for his beliefs, accepted baptism, and in revenge he instigated massacres of Jewish communities in which thousands were killed in the year 1236. He went to the Pope Gregory IX. He accused the Talmud as being the source of blasphemy against Christianity. He claimed that the Talmud, the Gemara, would prevent Jews from accepting Christianity. And in June of 1239, the Pope told the churches of France, England, Spain, and Portugal to seize whatever copies of Talmud they could find, to give it to the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the monks. And in 1240, Louis IX in France seized and confiscated whatever copies of Talmud he could lay his hands on. He ordered four Rabbanim, headed by Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, to come to a debate in Latin in Paris, Monday in June 1240. The Rabbanim were not allowed to confer with one another. They had no time to prepare. It was a three-day debate in Latin, which numerous charges were leveled against the Gemara. And this apostate Jew raised charges related to stealing from non-Jews, to the Isra of Lo Sechanim, not giving free gifts to non-Jews, raised passages from the Gemara that speak about Yeshu, which he claimed were blasphemous. And in the debate, Rabbeinu Yechiel argued that the passages in the Gemara that speak of Yeshu refer to a different individual who lived 200 years earlier. He argued that the comments in the Gemara that deal with interaction with the gun, which they found offensive, refer to Obdi Avodah Zarah, such as Kena'anim, the Kena'anim, not the Christians, not those who keep Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach. But obviously, defenses were to no avail. And in Tammuz, June 1242, Erev Shabbos Chukas, 24 wagon loads were burned. And the Kina, Marami Rottenberg speaks, Sha'ali Srufa Be'esh, he speaks to that Torah that is burned in the fire. Sha'ali L'shlom Avilayach, ask how those who mourn you are doing, those who wish to dwell in your courtyards. He asks, how is it possible, Eicha Nesuna Be'esh Ochla, to Ukal Be'esh Basar, V'lo Nuch Buzar B'chagachalayach. He asks the Eicha question, how is it possible that the Torah can be consumed at the hands of man who were not harmed by what they did? He asks, he asks if God gave us the Torah just so that ultimately it should be destroyed in this manner. How could that be? And perhaps in a remark which may have foreshadowed what was to come, towards the end of the Kina he writes, Yum tak b'fi mitzvash l'msoch b'mashka d'ma'os. I would rather than eat honey, mix tears into my drink. I'd rather my feet be chained in shackles in order to mourn the loss of the Torah. Now, as you know, the Maharami Rottenberg himself, some years later, was in fact incarcerated in Germany and died in prison in 1293. Perhaps ironic that in this very keynote he speaks of, I'd rather my feet be chained in shackles to mourn the loss of the Torah. And from the keynote you get a sense as to the horror which the desecration of the Sifrei Torah, of the Talmud, of the Sfarim brought upon the Jewish communities at that time. Brought to mind the story that I read in the Eliyahu anthology of the mayor of the city of Kozhetz, who was a Jew who converted to Christianity, was never fully accepted by either side as a result. And when the Germans stormed into Kozhetz and set the main shul, the Magid shul in Kozhetz, on fire, 20 soldiers grabbed this mayor, this irreligious Jew, and demanded from him, are you Jewish or are you not? He remained silent. At which point, Nazi commander seized the Sefer Torah, took some wood, put the flame to it, handed the Sefer Torah to this apostate Jew, this mayor of Kozhetz, and said, throw it in the fire. And he refused. The Nazi ordered him, he said, this is the one way you'll be saved, throw that Torah in the fire. And he adamantly refused. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm a Jew, you can kill me, it's not going to care, I'm not going to care. I am a Jew, I'm not going to burn the Torah. And the Nazis cruelly stripped his clothing, sent it back to his wife with a message cynically marked, a gift, and then threw him into the flames with the Sefer Torah that he had so desperately fought to protect. Even a Jew such as that, throughout his life, might not have been religious, might have left religion altogether. When it comes to the Sreifas HaTorah, touches a chord so deep in the psyche of a Jew. Even the mayor of Kozhetz is willing to be Moser Nefesh Ad Kedei Kach, that he would prefer himself to be thrown into the flames than to have the Torah suffer that same fate. Shalis rufa beish l'shlam ha-velayich Shabnish korn v'chatzim z'velayich Ha-shoyfim b'afar eretz Ha-shoyfim yishem v'im Ha-layim v'korim l'layich Ha-lachim ha-shoyichim Inu ha-yoyichat l'or yoyman Shiz rachalim v'alayich Ha-shlayim inu yishnei nach v'ichav v'leim Nishbo t'amid v'korn alay tzirayich Ha-layich Yisoy rikasanim t'ar yisiyano Yikam yispid mar miglu layich Yichan yisuna v'yish ha-chala t'uka Ba-ish ba-sev le-mich v'zorim v'gach ha-layich Ha-ron ad-dina t'yichayich ha-be-be-be-keyif Nifrachay le-chisuch ha-be-leach t'yishu v'r-gav V'lish bar-be-yel v'chol ha-mishpatim Sovid b'chli layich Yitzig zil yishrev da shayish v'chukim L'chein ha-shri shayisham lachkim layich Tzriv la-pir zoi Shalavavu zanis nechki b'chav yisayich Perish b'shalayach Shinei ha-alpein b'chal b'chal lahim Mas b'gdam yizar l'chukim layich Yosin yisindas Yisis mai b'sir m'gibor d'vayim shalom shalayach Ich bin auch schon auf dem Weg, bin neu, so viel schon ich war, keiner für mir leid, ich dachte, das ist das, das ist alles Bescheid gesagt. Hatte du schon mal nur, da kurz mal, ich habe dir mal so der hier kann noch auf. Ja, geh, look at verse next, so jetzt war ich mich waren bevor der Hörer schon hier stand, hat er schon. Bin ich für mein Gott, ich schluss, ich will schon wieder in Lunch raus, kann du sagen, weil ich will ja froh, da du kannst, weil ich nicht war, so ich weiß, das ist das, das kann mir leid. Es mal nach sich ja habe ich hier auch hier weiß ja schon zwischen war ja doch ich habe keine da fast so schon alle wollen schön was dabei mit da ja ich weiß also mit sei doch da ich ja ja das ist ja schon so leicht gut ich finde war schon so ich mal schon mal so aber ja ja ist kaputt mit da ja ich habe in ein schön ich mir mein da mal also ich habe noch nach sich kann ich mir leicht ja ich will das mal ja ja aber ich nicht mehr mal in der da ja ich habe so das bei lauf der von mir habe ich noch so leicht Ich schau aber gar mal. Schau dir mal mehr mit Kreis und wir schauen mit dabei auf das mal mit schon schon mit Schar und ich nicht kurz mit like ein halb Jahr. Was weiß was bis sag ich mal ja kurz. Hat so noch voll ja ja nach so ist halt mal ich mal mit mal hier. Weil ich schon so auf Skala war ja schon halb live live. Sag ich bekommen das so ist dann ich noch hier für das Skala das war. Ich glaube ich sag aber ja aber schon jetzt noch alle gesagt so ist da ich meine ist ja noch mit so wie schon 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 As in past years, we speak a little bit about, as we prepare to conclude the keynotes, the expulsion of the Jews from Spain in 1492, since that was certainly a tragedy of incredible magnitude, which saw, perhaps, according to rough estimates, between 100,000 and 200,000 Spanish Jews forced to flee their homes in Spain. And this all dates back to 1391, when there were terrible riots in parts of Spain, massacres of Jewish communities in Toledo, in Barcelona. And as a result of those riots, many Jews accepted the demand to baptize themselves. But even after having accepted baptism, these Jews in the late 1390s and early 1400s were never fully welcomed by the Christians around them. They still maintained connections with the religious Jews in their communities. And it was in an effort to ascertain the sincerity, so to speak, of these conversos, as they were called, the converts, that the Inquisition was established to ensure that these converts would be sincere in their spoken loyalty to Christianity. And the Inquisition, founded in 1478, was ironically an institution that united all the various kingdoms in Spain at that time, Aragon, Castile, numerous others. There were various independent kingdoms, but they all somehow came together, because when it comes to Inquisition, when it comes to persecuting the Jews, that's common ground for all the various factions within Spain. And there are actually trial records available and published by Chaim Beinart that you can read, records of Jews were put on trial, accused of insincerity to Christianity, with accusations, and the evidence ranged from the types of foods they cooked to making their beds on Shabbat before Shabbos, or preparing the house in some way for Shabbos. Any indication, as slight as it might be, that would indicate that this Jew who claims to have converted might still have some connection to Judaism was enough to put a person on trial, to have him burned at the stake. And ultimately, in an effort to prevent the Jews from assisting their converted brethren from maintaining some sort of connection to religion, the expulsion decree was issued. The last day the Jews were allowed to be in Spain in 1492 was Zion Av, July 31st, 1492, was the last date of departure for the Jews to leave Spain. And cruelly, Spanish authorities forbade them from taking any gold, any silver, forbade them from taking any property. They couldn't sell their property because there was no value to it. It will be ours in 2 days when you guys leave anyway, so why should we buy it from you? Not only that, they were forced to pay an exit tax to leave Spain and an entry tax to enter into Portugal. And to add insult to injury, when the King of Portugal wanted to marry the daughter of Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain, he too had to expel his Jews just a few years later. And so thousands of Jews who had fled Spain left their homes behind to go to Portugal, once again forced to flee yet again from Portugal. Many made their way to Italy, others to North Africa, to Muslim countries. And here again, there are numerous chronicles from that time depicting, describing the horrors, the suffering, how these Jews, even as they left the persecution in Spain, came to North Africa or to Italy, they had to sail at sea. They were seized by pirates. Many died of hunger and disease. Those who arrived in Morocco, for example, a Muslim country, were then imprisoned and persecuted by the Muslims who were there. It was a tremendous tragedy on a tremendous scale. Hundreds of thousands of Jews, who ultimately many made their way to Turkey, where they were welcomed by the Turkish community there. And from there, many as well went to Tzfas and to Eretz Yisrael. What never ceases to amaze me is the account described in Chaim Beinart's History of the Expulsion, an account written by a Christian priest at that time, who writes how he sees the Jews leaving Spain, their rabbis encouraging them that this is the beginning of the Geula, the women, the girls singing as they walked along the roads and through the fields, suffering misfortune, death, and yet only a few converted. And it's so incredibly amazing that they had the koach, the amuna, to sing at times of the worst tragedies, the worst sorrows. As they were suffering, they were focused on geula, focused on faith, focused on redemption. Just to conclude, we've mentioned once in the past a beautiful story. Dr. David Pelkowitz heard from a woman whose father was in the camps with Elie Wiesel during the war. And she related how she once met Elie Wiesel at a lecture, and she said to him, "My father was in the camps with you." When he inquired as to her father's name, he was overcome with emotion because he said, "Your father saved my life." And he recounted to her how, on one particularly brutal day after returning from the forest, backbreaking, exhausting labor, starving, freezing cold, a number of Russian inmates produced some cyanide pills and offered them to the inmates who were with them to put an end to their misery. And many individuals, including Elie Wiesel himself, lined up to put an end to their suffering. And this woman's father stood in the other corner of the barracks and started singing a beautiful niggun, Vishnitzer niggun of Ani Mamin. And slowly and remarkably, one by one, inmates in the other line gravitated toward this chassid singing Ani Mamin and joined him in singing. Elie Wiesel himself related how this is how he saved himself from suicide, because he was inspired by the singing of this individual, this Jew, who even in the face of suffering and death was able to focus on his emunah, Vahashem. Look at the Kina briefly. There's mention of, in the English translation of those who you who have it, Jerez, Seville, Sicily, Aragon, Granada, Castile. The Kina is basically a description of complaints, the Jews complaining to God, so to speak, as to how this could happen to them. Why did this happen to them? Asking how this could happen. And ultimately, they concede themselves, these Jews who have been initially accusing God, so to speak, how could this happen? Concede that there were many sins that they themselves were guilty of. And for that reason, perhaps, they are being punished now as a result.